Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. This is our congregation, our church members that are in the parking lot, our radio audience, and would just like to remind everyone that this is our third Sunday of Advent. We will be lighting our third candle, which is the candle of joy. We do have a few announcements for this week. The food pantries this week, on December 16th at 10 a.m., food pantry will be in Deckerville at Wilson Park. On 12/17 at 1 p.m., it will be in Croswell at the Valiant Ministries. On the 19th of December at 9:30 a.m., food pantry will be in Marlette at the VFW Hall. For these 3 weeks, if someone needs a ride, please contact Linda Williamson. Our last week of December, the week of 12/30, the food pantry will be held at 11 a.m. in Sandusky at the Sanilac Transportation. So please note that that is a different location for Sandusky. Our Grief Share group is being held via Zoom on Mondays at 6 p.m. You can join in at any time, and these meetings are open to all. Please contact Pastor Sue for the link to join the meeting. This is week 3 of Advent, and we have got our Advent reading. It is from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord Justice, I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. The descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge, for they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord, for my soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes the seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Something to think about as we get ready to light our Advent wreath. Do want to include anyone this week in our congregation or out in the community that is having a birthday. We wish you all a very happy birthday. And for couples celebrating an anniversary of marriage. Each year of marriage is precious, and we wish all a very, very happy anniversary. We will go into our praise songs, the first one being Emmanuel, Emmanuel, and our second is Surely the Presence of the Lord.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
As we light our Advent candle, our third candle, the candle of joy, we're going to have verse 3 of the Advent song.
Light the Advent candle 3, think of heavenly harmony, angels singing peace on earth at the blessed Savior's birth. Christmas light.
We want everything to look nice, the decorations of the season, our homes with their lights, the tinsel, wreaths, and ribbons. We want to lighten the darkness around us, bring beauty to the ugliness that wears us down. We decorate because it is tradition, because it lifts our hearts, because it makes us feel like children again. We deck our halls because company is coming.
The prophet Isaiah smiled when he said, God will give a garland instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. No matter how far we feel from the spirit of the season, God promises to decorate us with love and with joy.
We light these candles as a sign of our joy in the beautiful things of the season, not just the things that glitter and flash, but the deeper things, the beauty of the heart and of the soul, the beauty of love shared in service and hospitality. We light this candle of joy because company is coming.
O come, Emmanuel.
Please join us in our call to worship, and we will read this, the bold-faced type, together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Now it is time for our children's message. I'd like to let the kids know that we miss them, and hopefully we can all be together soon again. You know, at this time, it's very near Christmas, And I know we're all very excited. I'll bet you your houses are just beautiful with your Christmas trees and different decorations, and hopefully you're helping with special baking of cookies and things. It all very, very happy time. Just yesterday I had my two granddaughters over and we spent the day making cookies in anticipation of Christmas. We all look forward to this. And I know that children are looking forward to the arrival of Santa Claus. But we also know that the real meaning of Christmas, the deeper meaning, is the birth of baby Jesus, our Savior. And that's truly what the celebration is about, is that we're celebrating Jesus' birth and that he came here in human form as a little baby to grow up and to bring us from the darkness into the light, to save us from our sins and grant us eternal life with him. So as you look around at all the beautiful lights, and especially as we look at our Advent candle, we know that this is the symbol of joy this week, joy that the birth is coming. Jesus is very near to us, and we need to hold him in our hearts and in our thoughts and remember his teachings that we are to take joy in one another and to love one another. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 16, verses 5 through 11. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
This morning in our pastoral prayer, we're especially praying this morning for the Sandusky Pizza Hut. Dear Lord, there are so many sad and troublesome things to face in this world today, which too often cause our hearts to become weighed down and difficulties and doubts. But we pray that your joy will fill our hearts and strengthen our soul, and that times of joyful laughter will replace those seasons of weeping and hardship. I pray in the Christ we may be clothed in strength and dignity, wisdom and grace, and we may be enabled to laugh in the storms and not to fear the future, knowing that our times are in your hands. You have promised to draw us near to each one of us, and with us in every circumstance of life that we come our way. I pray that your joy and laughter may flow through me to others who are facing similar difficulties and hardships, and that together we may maintain an ever-deepening trust in you as we look for you any day to return to take us to be with yourself. And I pray this prayer as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is "To God Be the Glory." Our gospel reading today comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Say it again, rejoice. Everyone, see that you are considerate to all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My message this morning is simply entitled Joy. When we talk about joy, we usually start with what joy is not. Now, I'll do the same with a word picture. Think of the Grinch. The Grinch is not joy, is he? So when we try to explain what joy is, we often swing the pendulum too far in the other direction. We create a fake, overly enthusiastic kind of person. Now, think about the character Buddy in the movie Elf. So what is true joy? We know it's not just a reaction to the ups and downs of life. Joy is knowing that you have whatever you need to face whatever may come. No matter what the circumstance, God's blessings are still there. Because of that, you are less stressed, because you know that God is good and that you are loved. Joy doesn't come from what you have. It comes from what you know can't be taken from you. They can take your job, but they can't take your purpose. They can take a relationship from you, but they can't take God's love from you. They can take your health, but they can't take God's grace or power from you. They can even take your life, but they can't take away your internal destiny. That's why the Bible can say in Thessalonians 5:16, "Be joyful always." Point out that many absolutes that are found in God's world, which there are many absolutes. The Bible uses the word always. Really? Always? I can think of a few circumstances in my life when I may not have been joyful. So how can you have that kind of joy? The truth is that if you're waiting for the perfect circumstance to have joy, you're going to be waiting a long, long time. So how do you find the kind of joy that lasts in this imperfect, often ugly world? Well, the answer is found in the message of Christmas, that God came down to earth to bring joy into this challenging world. For the rest of this message, we will look at people involved in the Christmas story and see how they found joy in the first Christmas. The shepherds talk about joy. The wise men talk about joy. Mary and Joseph talk about joy. They were all filled with joy, and they didn't even know the end of the story. But we do. The joy that they experienced can be our joy. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Whenever you read a story in the Bible, it's not just written for the people at that time. It's also written for us. It's written to give us hope. It's written to give us encouragement. It's written to give us joy. So let's see what we can learn from each part of the story. The first lesson we can learn comes from the shepherds. Joy is here when God is present. Most people are looking for joy in all the wrong places. It's not somewhere else. It's here. It's where you are. It can be found in the life that you are living. God wants you to find joy where you are, like the shepherds. Luke 2:8-9 says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So here are these shepherds. It's just another night watching the sheep. And all of a sudden, in the midst of their normal life, God shows up. Joy shows up. Now, I need you to track me closely. Wherever God is, there's joy. Jesus lives in us. God lives in us. So matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, God is there. So joy is there also. When you're at work, God is there. When you're on vacation, God is there. When you're at home, God is there. Searching for happiness or joy in other places is a waste of time. It's your stinking thinking that doesn't allow us to experience joy. You don't have to leave your job to find joy. You don't have to leave your family to find joy. Finding joy is not out there. It comes from God, and it is in here. Look at the shepherds. The Bible says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. Suddenly God shows up. We all know the power of suddenly. Something can happen and everything changes. Suddenly you get a phone call. Suddenly you get the diagnosis. Suddenly there's an auto accident, and everything can change for the worse. But the truth is, just as suddenly, everything can change for the better. I can find joy right here, right now. Suddenly, God can do something new. I can begin to look at life differently and find hope. Not in my circumstances, but in God's love. I can begin to look at life differently, from an eternal perspective, and see that God's love is there no matter what. I can know that no matter what the circumstances, God's going to show up in my life. That's what happened to those shepherds. Suddenly, God showed up. Suddenly, joy was there. The second lesson comes from the experience and realities of life. Joy is sent by God to us and others. It's always fun to come up with working man's definitions for deep spiritual concepts, such as faith, the ability to look forward to the hindsight. Here's a joy definition: an inner, unstealable, never ceasing, God-sized, God-based pleasure. Joy is one of those God-given attributes that is a gift to us. It's not something you spend the rest of your life trying to find or struggle to keep. It's something that God sends onto your life and that you receive from him. He sent it to the shepherds, and now he sent it to us. Luke 2:10-12. They, the shepherds, were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." So joy is here. How do I find it? How does it come into my life? Knowing that joy is something that is desirable But not knowing how to get it, there are a lot of different strategies people use. Some people try to work harder to get it. If I just work hard enough, think hard enough, if I somehow just work myself into it, I'm going to be a joyful person. If that were true, the most joyful people in the world would be workaholics. And we all know that's not true. So it's not a matter of me working hard to discover it. Some people think that to be joyful is just to ignore all the bad in the world. I'll just pretend all this stuff is just not here. And then I can be a joyful person. These people aren't joyful. They're just in denial, which incidentally makes them frustrated and guilty, which gives them the opposite of joy. Joy is recognizing in the realities of life that God is here. There are other people who think that joy is tied to daily happiness. If that were the case, joyfulness would come and go with the wind. God wants to bring joy into every one of our lives as a permanent condition. Remember my definition? And it sends it to every one of our lives. It's not found. You don't have to go find it or discover it. It is sent. You could spend the rest of your life trying to find what God has already sent and miss it. Sometimes when we look so hard and work so hard to find what God has already sent, we often overlook his gift. Joy is not created from within, from my own strength. Joy is sent from above and planted in our hearts. The angel said to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy for all people." I think that is an interesting statement. Why would the angels mention good news and great joy? Good news becomes great joy when it becomes personal, and it's personal for all people at the time it's given and forevermore. It's not and a result of experience, experiential, and becomes personal. Christmas is personal. Jesus came for you. He came for you. He came to let you know, I love you. I have a plan for your life. I have a promise for your life. I have a future for your life. I have a no matter what love for your life. Christmas is personal. When you recognize the personal significance and ramifications of why Jesus was sent, that Jesus was sent not just for the world, but also for you, then all of a sudden the good news becomes great joy. The joy gets sent into your life. I want you to notice what these shepherds did when they went and saw the child. They did what the angel told them to do. And the Bible says in Luke 2:17-18, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So they went and told. First joy is sent, then joy is shared. You tell other people. They went and told. Notice how the people responded. They didn't ridicule them. They weren't bored. They were astonished because the world needs good news and because people need good news. This is a powerful tool for evangelism because people can't argue with your experience, your joyful life. So I just want to encourage you, if you know Christ and you know joy, act it out. Live, talk, act like you have joy. One of the most effective statements for Christ that you can make is living a life of joy, even through the tough times. So joy, joy is here. Joy is sent into our lives. And then from the wise men, we learn a third shocking truth about joy. The third and final lesson comes from Mary, the mother of God. Joy is a choice, a difficult choice. Mary had a great joy. She sang a whole song about it. You can read it in Luke 1:46. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary sings a song of joy. But she wasn't always singing. That's not where she started. It was a decision, a choice that she made that brought her to that place. Look at where she started. Luke 1:29 and 30. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angels could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." I see three important words: confused, disturbed, and afraid. That's where Mary started. And you feel that way too? Here's the teenage girl, and she's just been told that she's going to have a virgin birth. "How am I going to explain this one, God? No one will believe me." This pregnant teenager is confused and disturbed and afraid. But then, just a few verses later, she's joyful. What happened to change her mood so quickly? She made a decision, a difficult decision. She decided to trust God instead of trusting herself. The thing about joy is that it often scares you at first because you've got to let go of the familiar and make a decision to totally trust God. Joy is found on the other side of the difficult choice to trust God instead of trusting yourself. We need to let our lives reflect our faith in Jesus Christ. Instead of fear dictating our choices, we must pray about everything with confidence and hope. So in conclusion, I will ask you to be strong. Trust in God's goodness, and the joy that he has planted in your heart will flourish. At this time, we would ask the ushers to come forward for the gifts and tithes.
We give our gifts this morning with joy in our hearts. We joyfully give to you, Lord, in thanks and praise for the coming of your Son, for the salvation of our souls, for the promise of life everlasting with you, Lord. We hope that these gifts will be taken and used here in our church, our local community, and far reaching out into our global brotherhood of man and woman. Lord, that these humble gifts given here can help to bring your name into places in this world where it is not known. That it can be used for good, Lord. That it can be used to heal and bring shelter and food and comfort. All the things that you give us, Lord, on a daily basis, and we take so for granted. May we be ever joyful in returning gifts to you in thanks for the blessings that you give to us. Our next hymn, our closing hymn, is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your great wisdom and strength, and thank you for being an ever-present help in time of need. We ask that as you send us out from this place, we have a joyful expectation of what you are going to accomplish in each of our lives, and that you would remain close to each one in the days that lie ahead. May the Lord bless us and keep us as we draw closer to Jesus. We pray that he will fill our hearts with love and joy and keep us rejoicing in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that we might be strengthened in the inner man, equipped to do your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.